بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا بعد. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم. نحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين. الحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. استحيا البدر. The verse of the Quran that I recited before you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم. Verily, the number of months according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are 12. And from among them, 4 months are sanctified. What are these 4 months that are sanctified and that are revered? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his final pilgrimage in the Hajjat al-Wida', in his sermon, he mentioned that the 4 men which are sacred and which are sanctified, they are the men Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram, and the month of Rajab. If we were to look at what Islamic month we are in at the moment, then we would realize that we are in the month of Muharram, which is regarded as the first month of the Islamic calendar. And upon the month of Dhul-Hijjah coming to an end and the beginning of Muharram sees the coming of a new year, new Islamic year. What is the significance of this month and why has it been given such importance over the other Islamic months? First of all, let us understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran that 4 months are sanctified and they hold some sort of significance over the other months. And the reason for this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the moment when He created the entire universe, the heavens and the earth and everything that exists in the universe, He had made 12 months and He decreed that the 4 months, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram and Rajab, shall be the most sanctified from these men. And the sanctity that they enjoy isn't something which is inherent or due to some quality that they possess, but it is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishing to give them sanctity. Without a doubt, from among all the men, the most sanctified men is the month of Ramadan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions these men because before the advent of Islam during the time of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, during his prophethood, he used to reverse his men. And the people of Arabia, since they had some sort of relationship, connection with Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, they would also revere these men. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept the sanctity of these men even during the time of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to why does the month of Muharram enjoy this status that is regarded as the first month of the Islamic calendar, when we look back into history and look at when the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum decided that there should be a system of recording time, recording dates when someone was to write to another person, that on the letters, in order to specify the time when this letter was written and when it was dispatched, Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, upon receiving a letter from Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that, "Oh Umar, we get messages from you, we receive letters from you, yet we do not know when you dispatch these letters. It is time that we got together and we appointed a system wherein we can log and put down the exact time when a letter is written, when a statement of yours is conveyed to someone." So the Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gathered all the companions and took the consultation as to how shall we go about recording time. Each companion gave their different views. Some companions said that we should record time from the moment that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born and he came onto this earth. That is the best time that we could appoint for gathering data, gathering the dates that are significant in the Islamic religion. Other companions gave a view that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received prophethood, from then on we should calculate the time and we should appoint the Prophet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being the first month of the calendar. Other companions gave their view that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinah al-Munawwarah and when he left Makkah al-Mukarramah, this period we should allocate at the beginning of the Islamic month. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he took this view after consulting the other companions and he decided that this is the best time and this is the month that we should appoint as being the first month of the Islamic calendar. And from the time that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emigrated, we should regard this as the time from which we will record date and record important events of Islam. Although the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's migration to Madinah al-Munawwarah took place in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Madinah al-Munawwarah in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. But the reason why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu decided that we should appoint the month of Muharram as the starting point of the Islamic calendar and the month of Dhulqa'dah as the ending of the Islamic calendar, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he first decided to undertake this journey of migration from Makkah to Madinah al-Munawwarah, he decided in the month of Muharram. So preparations were made for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's emigration in the month of Muharram. Therefore, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu decided that this is the month that we should appoint for the beginning of the Islamic calendar. And since then, almost 1424 years have passed since the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's migration to Madinah al-Munawwarah. If you look back at the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there are many lessons to be learned. Each and every aspect of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life holds the lesson to mankind. Allah says, وَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْرَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for you is the best example. So whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did throughout his lifetime, you would see a perfect example, a perfect role model. A person wishing to achieve success, prosperity in this world, wanting to be acknowledged in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the only way is by him following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether he is a father, he will find a perfect example in the manner that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated his children. If he is a teacher, he will find a perfect example in the manner in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his companions. If he is a warrior, he will find a perfect example in the manner that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his battles. In all aspects of life, you will find a perfect example in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best role model and the best of mankind. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on a very lofty basis of moral conduct and moral character. If we take the incident when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emigrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah and took this journey towards Madinah al-Munawwara, then just a few aspects that I would like to touch upon, which I feel are very important in our day-to-day life, and especially in this moment that the Muslims are facing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he leaves Makkah al-Mukarramah with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the disbelievers are in their pursuit, when they reach the cave of souls, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after seeing the feet of the disbelievers above the entrance to the cave, he says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رسول الله لو أن أحدا منهم نظر تحت قدمين لأبصرنا. If one of them was to look down at his feet, then most definitely he would see him. At this moment, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Look at the reply of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, مَا ذَنُّكَ بِإِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا. That what is the opinion regarding those two, the third with whom with them is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is with us. These people, they cannot harm us because Allah, He is protecting, safeguarding us. Let us go back to a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, both in the Bukhari and Muslim. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah says in a hadith Qudsi, أنا عند ذن عبدي بي, that I am with my servant according to the manner and according to the way he thinks of me. If my servant thinks of me that I will fulfill each and every need of his, then I will deal with him accordingly. And if he feels of me that I am not going to do anything for him, I shall treat him in that way. أنا عند ذن عبدي بي وأنا معه حين يذكرني. And I am always with him when he remembers me. If my servant remembers me in solitude, then I remember him. If my servant remembers me in a gathering, then I remember him in a gathering far greater than the gathering of mankind, that is the gathering of the angels. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even at that moment, when Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu thought that now we have been captured and there is no way of survival and there is no way of finding freedom, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directed attention towards Allah, that it is Allah that we must rely on. It is Allah that we must have full conviction on, that Allah is the one who is going to assist and help us. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after staying in the cave for 3 days, he once again undertakes his journey. When he is taking the path which is close to the shore of the sea, a person by the name of Suraqa ibn Malik ibn Jushan, he is informed by someone that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taking the route to Medina and to Munawwara from the shore. So he quickly mounts his horse and quickly chases the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As soon as he gets to a distance where he can see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua, calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah be sufficient on our part and do not let this person capture me. As soon as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says this, Suraqa ibn Malik, he says, after embracing Islam later on, after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he narrates this incident. He says that his horse the feet of the 22 feet of the hood, they immediately go into the ground and into the sand. So he feels that the hood may have slipped. So he quickly mounts the hood again and, in pursuit of the Prophet, advances forward. For the second time, the Prophet cares for him. And the second time, he falls off his horse. Again, he thinks that there's probably something wrong with the ground here, and I will definitely capture the Prophet. A third time, he falls off his horse. And this time, he realizes that the Prophet is in the protection of Allah, and no one can harm the Prophet. So he quickly calls the Prophet, saying, O Prophet of Allah, although I was so close to capturing you, I acknowledge that I am unable to catch you because you are in the protection of the being who is the greatest, and I cannot harm you. Therefore, I am not going to cause any harm, I am not even going to try to deceive you anymore. But I would only request you that you write for me a few lines confirming that our meeting took place. The Prophet ﷺ commands the slave of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala to write down a few things for Salat al-Jama'ah. Thereafter, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even at this moment, even in such a dire situation where his life is in threat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives a prophecy to Salat al-Jama'ah ibn Ju'shan to say to him, كَيْفَ بِكَ إِذَا لَبِسْتَ سِوَارَ الْكِسْرَى, that how would your condition be when you shall be wearing the bangles of Kisra, the king of Persia? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his life is in danger. The life of Abu Bakr is in danger. But look at the vision of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even in such a situation, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's morale, his conviction in Allah never decreases, but all the more his conviction, reliance on Allah increases. Any person in the world facing such a situation where his life is in danger, he will never give a prophecy of something that is going to happen in the future. Whereas he cannot even save his life at this particular moment, he's more worried about his life. Still, the Prophet is knowing that Allah is the one who is protecting him, and he is in the protection of Allah, and he is going to safeguard him. He says to Surah Al Malik that what is your condition going to be at that moment when you shall be wearing the bangles of Kisra? So it is said that this prophecy of Prophet came true when, during the Khilafah, during the reign of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Muslims conquered Persia. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu called for Faraka and he gave him these bangles regarding which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prophesied. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even in dire situations when all seems lost, never would turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His conviction, reliance on Allah will all the more increase. This is the lesson that we also need to learn today. You and I need to learn that no matter what happens in the world, no matter how a problematic situation a person is in, if he has reliance on Allah, if he has full conviction in Allah, then Allah will always assist him. As Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, that once he was mounted on a conveyance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Ya ghulam inni wallimuka kalimatin, that O child, O boy, let me teach you some words, and listen very attentively to these words. Ihfadhi Allah yahfadhka, protect the command of Allah. Fulfill each and every command of Allah, be a perfect Muslim, and Allah will protect you. Over 1400 years ago, the Prophet ﷺ gave these guidelines. A guideline for you and I to follow today, that if we want safety, if you want security in this world, then you have to follow the commands of Allah. Allah promises us that He's going to protect us. احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تحفظ المجاهد. If you protect and safeguard the commands of Allah, you shall find Allah always on your side, always assisting you. No one in this world can harm you or cause you grief. Further, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَعَلَمَ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوِ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ وَإِنْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. If the whole world were to get together and try to benefit a single individual on this earth, then they cannot benefit that person except for that amount that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. Because Allah is the one who is the creator. Allah is the one who is the most powerful. Allah is the one in whose hand lies power and might, and He is the one in control. If the whole world were to get together and try and benefit a single individual on this earth, they cannot benefit him except for that amount that Allah has decreed. And if they were to get together and try and harm a single individual, they cannot harm But should an individual accept that an amount of Allah has decreed, رُفِئَةِ الْأَقْلَامَ جَسَّةِ السُّحُرْ, that the pen which have written destiny, which have written decree of man, they have been lifted. And the scriptures upon which destiny of man has been written, they have also become dry. Prophet Allah has been emphasized so much that nothing in this world can harm a person unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. And if a person wants to be in the protection of Allah, he has to fulfill each and every command of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect and safeguard him. So this is a message that you and I need to learn, and you and I need to take from here today. That no matter what happens in the world, no matter what sort of trouble, what sort of anxieties, what adversity we are facing, if we fulfill the commands of Allah, nothing in this world can harm us. Today, the Muslims want solutions to their problems. Everyone is looking for answers and avenues through which their problems can be solved. But the problems can only be solved if we turn towards Allah. If we fulfill His commands, Allah will protect us. We say that the problem is that Muslims are not united. We say the problem is that there is no Islamic Khilafah. We say the problem is that in the past, the people used to have different views, different ideas. But that is not the solution. The solution, the main solution is that we turn towards the commands of Allah. We fulfill the commands of Allah and we will see that Allah gives us. Allah gives us success, prosperity in this world as well as the hereafter. Allah says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah promises, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا, and who is more truthful in a statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says that I promise, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, I promise those who believe and who do good deeds, لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, that He will make us, He will make us, the believers and the ones who do good deeds, the rulers of this world. So if you want rule, if we want success, success only lies in following the commands of Allah and the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches Madinah al-Munawwara, look at the manner in which he preaches. As soon as he reaches Madinah al-Munawwara, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are the first words coming out from his mouth? He says, Ya ayyuhan nas. He addresses each and every person there, not the believers, not the disbelievers, each and every human being he's addressing and saying, Ya ayyuhan nas, afshu salam wa aslimu ta'am. وَسِلُوا الْأَرْحَامَ سَجْلُوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسَ النِّيَامِ. But O people, spread salam among you. Spread salam among you. وَأَسْلِمُوا الدِّعَامَ, and feed the poor and the needy. Feed them. وَسِلُوا الْأَرْحَامَ, and join time. Join the ties of the relations of the people. وَسَجْلُوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسَ النِّيَامِ, and form salah during the night time. سَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامَ, and you shall enter paradise with peace and tranquility. The Prophet ﷺ, the first message gives, what a message it is, and how would he have penetrated the hearts of the people of Madinah al-Munawwara. That the first time the Prophet ﷺ is coming, he's not giving a message of war, he's not giving a message of terrorizing, he's not giving a message of ruling over these people, but the message is of peace, the message is of fulfilling the commands of Allah. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a prominent companion of the Prophet ﷺ and had not yet embraced Islam, when he hears these words of the Prophet ﷺ, as soon as he sees the face of the Prophet, he says that I realize and I acknowledge that this face is not the face of a liar. I acknowledge that this face is not the face of a liar. From the speech and from his face I realize it. And he was so overjoyed that his auntie, seeing his state, says to him that Abdullah, your condition is such that even if Musa, who is our prophet, the prophet of the Jews, if he was to come, you would not have been this happy. So Abdullah says that yes, this prophet is the final prophet regarding whom Musa also gave a prophecy. So this is the message that we should also give to the people today. 1424 years back, the Prophet gave this message. And if we were to give the same message to the people, spread peace, spread the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we shall see people entering into the fold of Islam. So for us to be a practicing Muslim, and for us to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will lead the way towards the people coming to the fold of Islam. May Allah give you and I the tawfiq and ability to act practice what has been said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all proper Muslims and complete Muslims.